This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you're in our audience, and we trust that the program blesses you, encourages you, and maybe even challenges you today. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email me prayer requests or comments from the website. There's an email address that you can use there. And there's a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as tracts and other material, testimonies and other material that you might find helpful. So you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at the Bible in an overview kind of way to try to help you understand how you can read the Bible in an intelligent way, how you can rightly divide the word of truth. And we've explained that really the Old Testament is explained by the New Testament, and that the Old Testament is a physical land with a physical people and physical promises, but they speak of a spiritual land with spiritual people and spiritual promises in the New Testament. We've also tried to emphasize that we study in context, context of the chapter, context of the book, context of the Bible. We've also tried to emphasize that as we read the Bible, we should always look for what it is saying about the Lord Jesus, because in the Old Testament, we're seeing the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate glory, and he's coming. In the New Testament, he has come, and he's coming again. So when we use those principles, we generally can understand the truth of the Bible for ourselves without going into great depth. We need help, of course, with customs and language and so forth, but we don't need to be told what to believe. We need to go to the Bible and see what God says to believe. And so when we look at Genesis, we've seen that it's the book of beginnings. And when we look at Exodus, we've seen that it's the book of salvation or redemption. When we look at Leviticus, it's the book of worship. When we look at Numbers, it's a people that's traveling through the wilderness. And we, as the church today, are traveling through a wilderness. When we come to Deuteronomy, which is our subject for today, it's the reminder to a new generation of the history of the children of Israel. It's really the second giving of the law for a second generation. You'll remember that the children of Israel were told to spy out the land when they came out of Egypt. And when they did, there were 10 men who went into the land who came out and said that the land was not, they were, that the children of Israel would not be able to handle the armies of that land. And they didn't want to go in. They thought they would all be killed. There was two men, Joshua and Caleb, who said that it was that God would deliver the people of the land into their hands, that they would be victorious and they should go in. And so because the children of Israel were faithless and thought that they'd be killed if they went into the land, the Lord said none of that generation would go into the land, and he would wait until that generation had died. And it was really not everybody that was alive at that time, but the standing army, 20 years old and older, all of those people who should have been victorious had to die before the Lord was going to take the children of Israel into the land. And now that has happened. And so, in a sense, we're looking at a 40-year period where new people have been born, and they need to be reminded of all of the history of the children of Israel, their deliverance from Egypt. They need to be reminded of the times that they were discouraged and God came alongside and blessed them, and how that they have walked with God these 40 years and God has sustained them. They need to be reminded of all that, and they need to be reminded that the key to their relationship with God is love and loyalty to him. And so when we look at this book, Moses really has three discourses. Plus, there's a fourth section dealing with the death of Moses, probably written by somebody else, maybe Joshua, and perhaps should be associated with the book of Joshua rather than with the book of Deuteronomy. But nevertheless, we have a discourse from chapters 1 through 4 dealing with their approaching the land. We have a second discourse by Moses, chapters 5 through 28, dealing with purity in the land. And then we have a third discourse by Moses, chapters 29 and 30, dealing with the covenant for the land. And then we have chapters 31 through 34 that deal with Moses' death and how that he got the chance to view the land, but he himself could not go in. Now, that's interesting that he represented the law. He gave the law. And the law, while it is good, it never is able to take us into the promised land. It's only by grace through faith that you come in to the promises of God. We need to have an understanding of our sin, and we need to confess it. And when we confess that we're sinners in need of a Savior, then God is able to bring us into the blessings spiritually that He wants us to have. And if we have been born again, if we have been saved, if we have had that time in our life when we received the Lord by faith, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if we have done that, then it would be our heart's desire to be loyal to Him. And so this is really the issue in Deuteronomy. Are these people who have been saved out of Egypt, are these people who are now a new generation, are they going to be loyal to God? And so we come to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 9, and we find that there's a second giving of the law in Deuteronomy 5 of the Ten Commandments, and I don't want to read the whole of the Ten Commandments, but in there it says, with regard to the idols of the land, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And those are those who have never come to trust in the Lord, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments, that is, who guard my truth. And when we look at keeping the commandments really involves confession of sin when we fail. Because what we're saying is that the commandment is right, even when we are wrong. And so this isn't saying that we're sinless. It's saying that when we sin, we confess it and say the commandment is right and that the standard is right. It's us that's wrong. So He shows mercy unto thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. And we're to love, then, He says, in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And so that is really the theme of Deuteronomy. And in essence, it's the theme, at least one of the themes, of the Bible. I've often said that when you interpret the Bible, make sure that nothing contradicts John 3:16. That's sort of a topic sentence of our Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is true, that is basically a theme verse for the whole Bible. But at the same time, loving God and loving your neighbor is also a theme principle that we find throughout the Bible. For example, if we were to go to Luke chapter 10, where a lawyer asks what he must do to inherit eternal life, the Lord says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so we find that loving God, if we're right with God, we'll be right with our neighbor. And we find that the idea of being right with our neighbor is found in is quoted from other parts of the Pentateuch, but nevertheless, or the first five books of the Bible. It's not right here in this verse, but it's found in other places. And so loving God and loving your neighbor is what the theme of the Bible is all about. And we can't love God if we haven't turned away from everything that hinders us from loving Him, the sin and the self-will and the pride and all that keeps us from loving Him and trusting Him for salvation. If we trust Him, then when He tells us how to worship Him, we should have a desire to do that. We find ourselves in a day when people are trying to change the worship of God into that which pleases them rather than being concerned about the worship that pleases God. Sometimes it seems to me that instead of recognizing that fellowship is working together, we see fellowship as just eating together, and that may be part of fellowship. But fellowship is working together in unity where we are in agreement. And I don't know of any church that I'm associated with that's in agreement with basic principles of worship. And I could go into why I believe that, and it concerns me because it's obvious that the children of Israel were to do things a certain way, and when they did things a certain way, that was not legalism. It was evidence of their love of God and of their faithfulness to God. And so when we come to the very end of Deuteronomy, Moses says this. He says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them." And that choice is before us today, is it not? As the church, are we going to cling to Him, or are we going to cling to what we ourselves think is right and what pleases us? And individually, are we going to turn away from all the things that we thought would fulfill us and bring us joy and happiness and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be satisfied with Him? We need to ask ourselves whether we are truly choosing life, whether we are really loyal to this one who has given us instructions as to how to please Him. And of course, the first instruction as to how to please Him is to believe in Him. The second instruction dealing with how to please Him is to show this by being baptized, because it identifies you with Christ and makes you now a public servant, a public child of God, confessing that the Lord is your Savior. And then we have other ceremonial things that we do, such as the breaking of bread, but we also live moral lives. We live lives that perhaps are different than the world would live them, but we live them and find joy and happiness in serving the Lord. Therefore, He says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." And that's my admonition to you today. Choose the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. And your life will be full. And your heaven will be secure. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon this program today and upon all who have listened. We thank Thee for Thy love and for Thy salvation. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.